turn to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, and we'll begin reading in verses 21 through 28, and not too many verses there, and then the sister passage to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 15, 21 through 28 is Mark 7, 24 through 30, and we'll read that too. We'll read Matthew's account, we'll read Mark's account, and we'll glean some things from both of those accounts this morning. But in Matthew chapter number 15, let me get my phone out here and make sure it's on silent. And I got the clock back there, so I will try to get us out in a timely manner. But with Matthew chapter 15, we'll look at verse 21. The Bible says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole that very hour. And in Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 30, the Bible says, And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she had come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, thank you for this day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your precious word. God of heaven, we pray that you would help us to give you our undivided attention. We pray through the power of the Holy Spirit that He would guide us unto this truth that we have here. God, give us understanding. Open our hearts and open our minds. And God, speak to us and add to our faith, Lord. God, I pray that you would bless this church. God, thank you for it. God, I pray that you would bless every soul, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that's here this morning. God, and those watching online. God, I pray that you would bless in a special way. God, I'm nothing without you, Lord. I am weak. I am nothing. God, I need your strength. I need the thoughts. I need the words. God, give us bread from heaven. Lord, I pray that you would bless us now. Lord, I pray that you'd strengthen the saved, the children of God. God, I pray that you would speak to the heart of the lost, the unbelievers, those that have not trusted in your Son, the Lord Jesus. I pray, dear God, that you would draw them and save them and deliver them. God, may eternal decisions be made today at this moment, Lord. God, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I want us to turn our attention to this lady, this Canaanite lady, this Syrophoenician woman. And there's lots of lessons that we can learn from the interaction that this dear lady had with the Lord Jesus. It's very relevant today. The setting here is in the city and the towns of Tyre and Sidon. Those biblical towns still exist today. They're in the country of Lebanon. They're on the east coast of the Mediterranean Sea. They're coastal cities. And here we see Jesus visited these places. And I believe that her being a Canaanite, a Syrophoenician woman, she was a Gentile. And, you know, she wasn't a Jew. And she was a Gentile. So Jesus made a point to leave, the area of Jerusalem and Capernaum and the Sea of Galilee, where he ministered a lot to the Jews. But he went out of that neighborhood and traveled northwest to the coast here at Tyre and Sidon. And in the Gospel of Mark, it tells us that he went to a house, and an individual specific house. And I believe that when Jesus did something, he did it for a purpose. He had a plan. He had an agenda to accomplish. This lady that he ministered to here, you know, looking at this account, and we look in these two Gospels where he had this interaction with her. Immediately after he had that discourse with her, then he headed back south. And so, to me, that tells me of the importance of, one, I thank God that he's interested in us Gentiles. And so that's important right there. But he's very, very interested in the individual person, the individual soul, the individual man, the individual woman, and the individual boy and girl. I think of what reminds me that's comparable to this. He went through the land of Samaria and ministered to the lady at the well. And the Jews didn't want to go through there. They didn't want to do it. Those disciples, it was like, hey, we don't need to be here. We don't like these people. But Jesus had a purpose. He had a plan. He had an agenda. And I want us to, in this setting, in setting this up, in the Gospel of Mark, the reason why I read this is because each disciple, each author of the New Testament that witnessed Jesus, you know, they're different writers. They had a different angle and a different viewpoint of what they saw. But I like it in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7 and verse 24. It says he entered into a house, and it says he would have no man know it. Anytime, there are several instances where Jesus would tell people when he would perform miracles, and he would tell them, don't tell anybody. For the longest time, I've had a hard time with that. Why would Jesus do that? Because, you know, obviously he wants people to know him. He wants the word to get out all over the world. But he has. We're here today. But I believe that the reason why Jesus would say, don't tell anybody, or here in this account, he didn't want anybody to know that him and his disciples were in this specific house. I do believe that the clarity is that he didn't want his agenda and his objective to minister to this lady to be hindered. One reason why he traveled north to the Gentiles is because the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all the like didn't like him. They wanted him put away. They wanted him dead. They wanted to hinder his message. They didn't want his message, his truth, to be taught and preached. He didn't want his miracles to happen. So I believe that's why he didn't want people to know that he entered this house. So here, but I like that end of that verse. Hey, this is something that we can take to heart. The end of that verse in Mark chapter 7 and verse 24, it says, but he could not be hid. In all of our failures and in all of the attacks, all of our failures of sharing Jesus, and all of the attacks of the wicked one, that old devil and his minions and his angels, and all of the lost crowd that tries to silence the church, tries to silence the truth, tries to kill the Word of God, he cannot be hid. It's impossible to hide the light and the truth of the Lord Jesus. I love that. So here is the setting. But here we see that a woman comes to Jesus. It says she cried unto him there in Matthew. She comes to him and says, Lord, have mercy on me. How many of you have cried and prayed that prayer, either verbally, audibly, or in our heart? God, have mercy on me. I know I did that day that I got saved, that I realized that I was a rotten, lost sinner bound for hell. And I said, Lord, have mercy on me. I needed deliverance. As the brother said here this morning, the hard truth is from the Word of God, there's two types of people in this world. Children of the light and children of the darkness. Children of God or children of the devil. I realized I was a child of the devil. You may say, Brother Sean, I don't like hearing that. What did Jesus say when he came upon this earth? He said, I have not come to give peace, but a sword. The Word of God, the truth, cuts and divides, and it pricks and penetrates the heart. But if we take that truth, then he will give us peace. Here, this lady cried to the Lord and said, Lord, have mercy upon me. I find that interesting. She is first coming to Jesus and pleading to him on her condition, her situation, her person. But she's coming in regards to her daughter. She acknowledges Jesus. She says, O Lord, thou Son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. So here's the setting. Here this woman's daughter, her precious child, is demon-possessed. You know, you and I, perhaps, I mean, we don't have experience where we've witnessed demon possession, but no doubt that it's real. No doubt that today we have perhaps the demon possession of some perhaps mental, physical disorders, or some people say that drug addiction is like a demonic possession. But you know, the more I thought about it, the more I thought that the devil doesn't need to come in and possess people, because there's all types of snares and enticements and vices that he pushes and promotes and that he backs that we just accept and we take and we allow our flesh to consume and we willingly put things in our bodies that possess us, that drive us away from God, that are against God, and that brings destruction and harm to our lives and the lives of our families. It's an awful state. This poor woman, this poor mother, saw her precious child go through the torment, the agony. Perhaps she hurt herself. Perhaps that she was self-destructive. Perhaps no doubt that it brought shame to the family. No doubt that the social gatherings or friends or family, she couldn't be brought out of the house. The loneliness, the division, the destruction that child experienced, but it tormented her mother. What an awful state. So you have the petition here in verse 22 to Jesus. And then verse 23, I find it interesting. It says, He answered her not a word. Here in her plight, here in her desperate need of intervention, divine intervention, Jesus immediately was silent. That's odd. But there was a purpose. He was silent. There was a purpose. And I think we'll see that as we continue. It says, And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. So not only did she directly cry unto the Lord, but she was asking and crying and pleading with the disciples, Help me, can you help me deliver this demon out of my daughter? Listen, church, here's one lesson that you and I can learn from this text, from this historical account. Don't be like the disciples. Don't be like the disciples. What? They did not care. They did not care for this lady, didn't care for her daughter. Big deal that your daughter's demon possessed. We don't have time for you. I am tired. I am hungry. There are thousands and hundreds around us that have been pleading and have the same issue. I don't want you here. Get out of my face. Does that sound familiar? Folks, you and I, we have people around us in our lives that maybe we are not aware of that need deliverance, just like this daughter. Ultimately, the deliverance from being a child of the devil. They need deliverance. They need deliverance of their soul, of being bound by sin and headed to hell and the lake of fire. There's many people that need deliverance today. But do we care? Do we care? Don't be like the disciples. They said, Lord, get her out of here. We don't have time for her. We want to be on this retreat. We're on vacation, Lord. I want to get away from all of this labor, all of this work. God, I don't want to deal with this right now. That sounds like our excuses, doesn't it? Don't be like the disciples here. He said, send her away. Here it goes on. Verse 24, But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay, so he speaks up. First, there's the plea and the petition. She cries, Lord, have mercy upon me. He's silent. Here in this verse, in verse 24, he almost gives her a sermon. That, hey, I'm come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So he's saying, hey, Gentile lady, my first priority is the Jews, is Israel. We cannot argue against God in that. You know, the Bible says he came into his own received him not, the Jewish nation. He was a Jew. Jesus was a Jew. And the Bible says that God, through the Jewish nation, the Bible says that salvation is of the Jews. God commands the church, you and I today, to preach the gospel, what? To the Jew first, and then also to the Greek. So there is a priority there. The Gospels in the New Testament talks about how the Jews are that Jesus is the true vine, and the nation of Israel is that true branch, and us Gentiles are grafted in, as the Bible says. So Jesus is kind of reminding her, I've come first to the house of Israel. That's a hard saying for her. So there's the pushback of silence. And here we see, I call this in verse 24, the pushback of the sermon. But this lady was relentless. I like that. Verse 25. Despite the silence, despite hearing, hey, you're not my priority. The first priority is the Jews, the nation of Israel. You're a Gentile. I've not come for you. That you're not my priority right now. But she said, what does it say that she came in verse 25? She came, then came she and worshiped him. She fell down at his feet and worshiped Jesus Christ. And it says that she says, help, Lord, help me. Well, that's a simple but yet powerful prayer. There's been times when I've not made time, I've run out of time, and I do a lot of praying driving. and sometimes I drive into work and I'm like, oh man, I forgot. I didn't pray. I'm getting ready to go in the door and I'm like, Lord, help me. I mean, we need help at work, don't we? Especially on Mondays. But God wants us to cry out to Him, to speak to Him, to call to Him and say, Lord, help me. What is that? That's an acknowledgement of dependence. That's an acknowledgement of, hey, I'm not independent of you, God. I don't have it all covered. I don't have all the power. I don't have all the ability to handle these problems and to live my life and to do what I need to do. God, help me. That's a great acknowledgement. She said, Lord, help me. So she recognized who he was. So she continued on despite her plea, despite her petition, and despite Jesus pushing back. He gave the pushback of silence. He gave the pushback of his sermon of telling her what his priority and his ministry was then and there. But she kept on. Verse 26, and I must hurry. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Whoa. This I would categorize, or on the surface it would seem to be slanderous. What did he just say? Did he call this woman a dog? He did. Why on earth would he say that to this woman that is poor and needy? Why would he call her a dog? That's hard. It's been said in historians and commentators that it was a common custom for the Jews to look at the Gentiles, and the Jewish people would call Gentiles dogs. So perhaps Jesus, being a Jew and being around the disciples and the Jews that were there, that perhaps were just there to watch him or to accuse him, to go along with that line, to go along with that kind of atmosphere or speaking. But why on earth? Why would he do that? His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But I believe it was another pushback to see how sincere this woman was. To see what he could get out of her. What did she respond by? I mean, it's amazing if she took the silence. She took the fact that she wasn't the Lord's priority at that time. But him calling her a dog, why would he be that way to a woman? Think about this. The Bible encourages us to search the Scriptures and to see the whole counsel of God, the Old and New Testament. The Bible says that the Old Testament was written for our examples. I believe that Jesus was not rude to this lady or to any woman. I mean, think about all the women that he dealt with and that he healed. I mean, the woman that had an issue of blood and the lady that one of the Mary Magdalene's or Mary's that kissed his feet and washed his feet and how he blessed her. And the greatest one that I thought of is when he dealt with his mother. I mean, the interactions with his mother, how he treated her. When they found him there in the temple when he was, you know, an adolescent and he obeyed his mother. And the time when she came to him at that wedding and said, "Jesus, why don't you do that? Why don't you perform a miracle? Why don't you help us here?" And he submitted. He was like, "Hey, it's not my time yet. I'm not planning on doing this," but he submitted to that. But the final blessing that he bestowed upon Mary, his mother, was when he was on the cross. And he said, he looked at John and he said, "Behold thy mother." And he looked at his mother Mary and said, "Mary, mother, behold thy son." He wanted to care for his mother after his death. He was not rude to this Syrophoenician woman, this Canaanite, this Gentile lady. He was pushing back to test and try her what she was made of. What happened? After he called her a dog, after he referenced Gentiles as dogs, and that was the custom of the Jews, what did she say? She said, "Truth, Lord. What you're saying is right, Lord. I agree with it, Lord. It's just and right for you to say this, Lord." She accepted the truth. You know, this truth that we hold right here is offensive to a lot of people. But I'm glad that the Lord included this in the Scriptures to teach us to not be offended so easily. Today we live in a world that we can get offended so easily with so little things and frivolous things. And God says to not be offended in me. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that if we're offended, then we really don't know the Word of God. I think it's Psalm 165 or Psalm 65. So God wants us to accept His truth, and she did. She said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." It's amazing to me. So here she got three pushbacks, and she persisted. That's something to learn from her. She prayed and met with the Lord to get the help, to get the deliverance, to get, "Lord, save my daughter from this demon." That's basically what she was after. So if these three times that Jesus gave pushback to her, she didn't say, "What nerve that guy has. I mean, why on earth? I'm not, and leave." She knew that he was the only hope. She knew that he had the answer, that he was the Son of God. She said, "Son of David." She recognized him as Messiah. She recognized him as the truth. That's important for all of us. That's important for all of us. So here the dogs, the subject of the dogs, she referenced Jesus. Jesus referenced her as a dog, a Gentile dog. And she says, "Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." How many of you in here have dogs at home? How many have dogs at home? All right, I see several. Awesome. Okay, so here's my disclaimer. I like dogs, and they're cute, and I go to friends and family that have dogs, and I pet them, and I play with them. But unfortunately, myself included, and most of my, my wife and my kids, dogs make us sneeze. We're the allergy family, you know. So I know, like, even my youngest, you know, would go her best friend's house, would go to a house and play with their dogs, and she's like, "Boy, I wish we could have a dog," you know. And so you have a dog at home, okay? So, you know, what Jesus mentioned here, no, what she mentioned, she says that, the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. You know, you feed your dog, right? You take care of that dog. But like when you're at the dinner table and say, you make this big feast. You know, I mean, you make, I don't know what the big expensive meal is. Steak, I don't know, filet mignon, lobster tail or whatever it is. You know, at our house it's like casseroles and, turkey and dressing. That's our big meals that we like. But you have this prepared feast that you make at home. You spend hours in the kitchen. Your grocery bill is very high. And you have the four or six chairs around the table, and the dad or the mom says, "All right, Fido. All right, Spot. You sit right here. You sit right here. Kids, you get away. Let's give the steak and the lobster and the chicken and dumplings and turkey and dressing. Let's have the dogs eat first." We don't do that, do we? It's the children. The children are the priority. The children eat first. Then the dogs get the scraps, right? So that's what Jesus is saying here. So in a way, if you think about it, a lot of you had dogs in their home. Calling someone a dog is not always offensive. Dogs are cherished and loved. So Jesus was not rude to this woman. So here, she spoke this thing. So the three pushbacks, and she just kept back, right back at Jesus. "Hey, I'm not letting hold of you, Jesus. I'm after you. I'm not gonna let you offend me, Jesus. I'm not gonna let this word offend me. I want your truth. I want your salvation. I want your deliverance. I need your help, Lord. Lord, have mercy upon me, Lord. My daughter is dying. My daughter is cutting herself. My daughter is lost. Save her, Lord Jesus." She persisted. She wanted deliverance for her daughter. Man, that's powerful. What a woman. That was powerful. What did Jesus reward her for? After she stated this very thing, Jesus said, "Oh, woman, great is your faith." Man, wouldn't that be nice that God would say that of you and me? Great is your faith. Man, that's a great compliment. What was so great about it? What could we learn more about this woman? Number one, she knew who Jesus was. She knew who to go to for the answer. She knew who the God-man was. She went to him. I mean, there's one thing to know that or acknowledge that, but she was humble enough to go, to cry out to him. You and I need to cry out to God. You know, sometimes I pray, I do those quick drive-through prayers and just say, "God bless," and "God help," "God answer this." But we need to spend time to cry out to God, to get a hold of God. What was it Jacob that said, God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me? That's what this woman did. If you want help, if you want deliverance, if you want salvation, we've got to humble ourselves and cry out to Him. Thirdly, I think not only she knew who Jesus was and she humbly went to Him and prayed and asked for help, but she recognized who she was. She was a Gentile dog, sinner, helpless. She recognized who she was. The Bible says that if we want salvation, if we want a home in heaven, we must repent. Jesus said that we must repent, or what? We'll all likewise perish. Hell, lake fire, with the devil and his angels. We must repent. We must. What is that? People confuse that word and make it very hard to understand. It's just a change of heart, a change of mind, and wanting to reject the sin nature and reject the sin. And God, I want you to make me righteous. I want you to make me holy. I want you to give me a home in heaven. I want you to make my life a peaceable life of righteousness. Lord, make me your child. It's a desire. It's a sorrow for where you're at, who you are, and wanting God's best, wanting God's favor, wanting to be in God's family. She repented. I think of, you know, things like she recognized who she was. She knew where to go to get the truth. She had great faith. But here's a lesson that we all, I mentioned it earlier and alluded to it earlier, is that she pleaded with the Lord on the behalf of another, her daughter. Moms, dads, we need to plead for our children. Every day, we need to plead to God on the behalf of our children. We need to plead to God for those that can't help themselves. That girl, that daughter, that's why that woman came to Jesus and said, Lord, help me. That daughter cannot, in her state, she couldn't come to Jesus on her own and say, Lord, help me. What's that remind us of? The lost sinner and undone. They don't know any better. They're lost and dead and spiritually dead. They need to be made alive by the Spirit of God through Jesus the Son and give them eternal life. You and I that have Christ, you and I that have salvation, you and I that have the Holy Spirit of God within us, we can plead on the behalf of another. We can deliver someone else, just like that mother delivered her daughter. Through her faith, through her action, God saved that daughter. God gave new life to that daughter. There are so many in our own house, in our own neighborhood, in our own family that need deliverance. God, help us. I heard a preacher remind me, saying all these dark days and uncertain days and the things that we get wrapped up in with our, you know, our lives and the pandemic and politics and things like that. It's like the church needs to focus on delivering people, preaching the gospel to every creature that people can be saved and delivered and to be whole and healed and on their way to heaven. That's our purpose. That's the biggest lesson that we can learn from this lady. She persisted. You know, sometimes when we pray and we don't hear from God, we hear that silence from God. And we pray and we don't have an answer. But like this lady, we got to keep on praying. What did Jesus tell us? We've got to, what is it? Ask, seek, knock. The three, you know, a continual progression, just like this lady did. She kept going with God. So easily we just get discouraged and just fall out and give up and just throw up our hands. This lady didn't. This lady didn't. She didn't get all upset. She didn't huff and puff and say, "To heck with you." She persisted. She was patient. She persisted. She prayed and then later possessed what she wanted, what she needed. God will give us our desires and our petitions if we line up with Him, His will. I'll pray. Oftentimes, I'll pray and I'll remind God, "God, this is your will. Please." I'll say, "God, so-and-so, they need saved. God, so-and-so, they're not in good health. God, so-and-so, they are, they're lost. God, save them. God, it's your will, God. Please save their soul soon, God, so we can enjoy this person in the Lord, God, that there'd be peace among us, God." Man, there's a powerful message by that dear lady that Jesus went all that distance to meet and to deal with and to deliver her and her daughter and to show the disciples, to show the Jews, to show us that God's gospel and message is to the Jew and to the Greek, to the Jew and to the Gentile. Wow, what a Savior, what a God, what a loving, caring God that we have and we serve.